Now we're holding on Ches Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of, we had learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim have machlokas about the case of Motzi Shemra, whether you need 3 or 23 dayanim. Motzi Shemra is the case where a husband comes to Beis Din, accuses his wife of being unfaithful to him before their marriage. So the question is, or at least that he, well, let's put it this way. It can be that he just says he found her not a basula and is claiming on that basis that he shouldn't have to pay her a ksuba of 200 zuz. Or he could be claiming, worse still, that she was mizana during the erusin and he has evidence of it in the form of edim and that the end of true should be chayiv misa. So the Chachamim had said you need 23 because there's dinin nefashos involved. The question is, according to the mayor, there's also dinin nefashos involved. He knows that if it turns out that his accusation is true, she's going to be chayiv misa. So we had a couple of answers so far. We had Ula's answer that we're talking about that choshishin lalaz or not, which according to Rashi meant that if we start with a Beis Din of 3, Adim may come for, he maybe is taking her to Beis Din only to say that he shouldn't have to pay her ksuba. Meanwhile, other Adim are going to show up later, and meanwhile, actual Adim are going to show up, saying that we actually know that she was Mizana during the Erusin, and the Rameyer is not concerned for that, and the Chachamim are. According to Tosfos, the vote was that if we start with 3, and then it turns out we need 23, then it's going to make it look like the first 3 didn't know what they're doing. So that was Ola's answer. Then we had Rava or Rabba's answer that 23 of them gathered to judge Dinin Nefashos, and then 20 of them left. And the question is whether we can judge the Dinin Mamonos portion of it with the 3 remaining ones, or are we concerned for Kvod and Shor Rishonim? Are we concerned for the honor of the earlier ones, as if people are going to say the earlier ones weren't competent to judge, and therefore we're doing it only with the 3 remaining ones? So then Reb Meir and Chachamim would be arguing on that point. Then we have a third answer, Abaya's answer, which is that they gave Hasra, but they didn't say what particular type of Misa it is. So can you do Misa in that case? Reb Meir holds that no, and therefore you might as well do a Beis Din of 3. And the Chacham holds that yes, you could give the person Misa, and in that case, therefore, that requires a Beis Din of 23. So the Gemara continues, Reb Papa, Amahocha Be'isha Chavera Skinen. Reb Papa says another answer is that here we're talking about a woman who is a chavera, who knows the halachas. So ordinarily we need hasra, and the question is, as we're going to say over here, there's a machlokas whether hasra is really necessary when it comes to a chaver or chavera, who anyway knows that this thing is osir. So, Mephoshim points out for a minute. Yona points out, for example, there's no question, even a chaver, you have to inform them that the thing is osir. For example, they're about to eat chalev. Even if you say that you don't need hasra for a chaver because they know chalev is osir, you have to inform them this particular thing is chalev. But you don't have to inform them necessarily that this thing that you're about to do is chayev malchus or misa or what have you, because as a chaver, they should be expected to know that. So there's a machlokas about that. But Kamitzki b'plugta d'Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda v'Rabbanan. Reb Meir and the Chachamim are arguing over here within the same machlokas of Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda and Rabbanan. The Tanya, Lona Braisa, Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda, Chover ein tzarech hasra. Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda says that a chover, or in this case a chavera, does not require hasra. You don't need to tell them what you're about to do is osir and is chayiv misa or malchus or what have you. Because the whole point of asra is to be able to distinguish whether the person is shregig or mazid, and if they're a chaver, they must be a mazid. Then once they know that this object or item or whatever it is osir, then they know that there's a chayiv misa or malchus involved, and it shouldn't be necessary to give them asra. Well, then that's the case in our mission. A mayor holds that even though she's a chavera, you're not going to have dinin nefashos over here because you can't execute her without there having been hasra, even though she's a chavera, and therefore right now if you're taking her to Beis Din, must be you're not taking her on dinin nefashos, so therefore it's only dinin mamonos. You only have the question whether she's forfeiting her ksuba or not, and therefore for that 3 is enough. Whereas the chum hold like Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda that you don't need hasra in that case, and then in that case it might be an issue of dinin nefashos, and therefore you need 23. Toys Fuss points out, by the way, that even according to that opinion, you would have to say that we're talking about that she was Mizanah twice, because otherwise the Edom conceivably could say, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that they're not coming, we didn't come to begin with to be Mechayev her Misa, only to make her also to her husband and make her forfeit her Ksuba. This would be called Edus Shi'iyata Yochel Lahazima. In order for Edus to be valid, it has to be possible for other people to be Mazimit, and for them to be, and for them to suffer the consequences that they would have done to the person, Vasitim Lekasher Zomam. In this case, they'd have an ability to claim, look, we didn't give Hasra, therefore we had no intention. The reason is not because he's a Chavera, but because we had no intention of bringing her to Chiyuv Misa in the first place, only of making her forfeit her Ksuba and be also to her husband. And in that case, their Edus would be Edus Shiati Yochel Azima. So we have to be talking about that she was Mizana a few times, more than once, and then that way already the second time they can't say that anymore. They would necessarily, it would have, because the first time already would be enough to cause those consequences. So therefore, then we would have to say, no, there's no question you were coming to be causing her a Chiyuv Misa without Hasra, according to the opinion, and therefore now it's an Adris Shati Yochel Lahazima, and therefore their Adris is valid. Okay, but in any case, according to the mayor, the point is that their Adris anyway would never bring to Misa because there's no Hasra, so therefore he says 3 is enough. All right, another explanation. Rav Ashi Yomar, Rav Ashi says yet another explanation. Another case would be where the Edim gave Hasra that she's going to get Malkus. It says they in the Gemara over here. It means in him, really. It should be Ba in her, because we're focusing on her. But whatever. The point is that the Edim said, if you do this, you're going to be Chayev Malkus. But they didn't say instead you're going to be Chayev Misa. Now, every Misa based in, by definition, has to have a lav somewhere. We have a concept in halacha called Ein Oinshin Elim Ken Mazhirin. If there's going to be a punishment somewhere in the Torah for doing a certain action, there has to be a warning someplace in the Torah not to do it. That warning is a lav. Don't do such and such. Elsewhere, the Torah will say, and if you do such, and if the person does such and such, then the consequences are such and such. Take, for example, let's say Shabbos. The Torah tells us, let's take, for example, Eishes Ish, which is what we're dealing with over here. The Torah says, Lo Sinas, don't commit adultery. Elsewhere, the Torah says that when a person does, then they get chenek, and then in certain cases, they might the Misa might get upgraded to one or the other kind, as we're going to talk about later in the Masechta. Anyway, the case is over here that they gave her Hasra from Malkus instead of Misa. And so they're arguing on the same argument as Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim later in the Mishnah. Namely, in other words, so according to one way of looking at it, in other words, we would say that it is possible to get Malkus for such a lav. One way we could look at it is the whole purpose of that lav is that without the lav there can't be a punishment at all. So we can't say with that lav that brings us a now you, in other words, like this. Usually we have, by default, a lav in the Torah is going to get Malkus, unless either the Torah tells us that there's Misa, or there's another reason to pater him from punishment entirely because it's one of a class of lavim, such as lav anitik la'eser, or lav she'en be'maisa, or what have you. Here, obviously, we're not talking about lav she'en be'maisa, and it's not a lav anitik la'eser, or anything like that. So therefore, are we going to say that it's possible to get Malkus for such a thing, but in the where there was Hasra for Misa, then the Torah upgrades it to Misa? Or do we say the whole purpose of that lav is only to establish a basis for the Chiyuv of Misa, and there's no Malkus for such a lav? So therefore, so basically the question comes down to, in other words, is this Hasra doing any good? So in other words, the question is, Misa she's for sure not getting, because they didn't give her a Hasra for Misa, but is she at least getting Malkus? So they're arguing on the same argument as Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim later in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we said that Malkus need only a base din of 3, and Rabbi Shmuel says it needs 23. So now Rav Meir and the Chachamim are arguing in the same machloikas. Do we say that she's not Misa for sure? She's not getting. Is she not getting Malkus either? So the mayor is going to say then that like the Tanakama that you need only 3 for Malkus. Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that you need 23 from Malkus. So the Machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim and the Mishnah would be therefore whether she's getting Malkus or not, but both of them would agree she does get Malkus. The question is, how many Dayanim do you need in order to give Malkus? 3 or 23? Okay, so Rabbi Shmuel's reason why he says 23 from Malkus, we're going to learn tomorrow, that's the shame, but the point is, in other words, that again, that both the Meir and the Chachamim would be agreeing, when you have a lav that involves Mrs. Bastin, but instead they gave Hasra for Malkus, then that's all she's going to be getting is Malkus. Tosfos also points out on the face of it, the Gemara could have said instead that we're not talking about the Malkus for her, maybe we're talking about the Malkus for him. Namely, ultimately, if it turns out that the husband's accusation was false, then the Pasuk says, V'yisru oisa, which means they give him Malkus, and there you could have the argument whether 3 or 23. So in other words, conceivably, the Gemara could have said that's the case over here, that we're talking about not the Malkus for her as having been over on the Isser of Znus, but rather the Malkus for him because of having been over on the Isser of Lashon Hara against her. But the Gemara hadn't said that, so we're talking about the Mitzah or Malkus for her. The Yad Ramah points out that, look, I mean, we have to be talking about that there is Malkus for her anyway. If there's no Malkus, if there's not Misa and not even Malkus for her, then why would the husband be getting Malkus anyhow if the accusation was false? So that's why the Gemara is talking about that we're talking about Malkus for the woman. The Bach also points out a question in that case, and why in that case then it comes out as exactly the same machlokas in the Mishnah twice, whether he needs 3 or 23 for Malkus. Well, in that case, why does the Gemara have to repeat the machlokas again? Why does the Mishnah have to repeat the machlokas again? And he says, because the point is that otherwise you would have thought, if you only had the machlokas for Bishmol and the Abanon later in the Mishnah, then we're talking about, again, when it's a regular lav, where there's no Mrs. Bastin potentially involved, then they would say 3 or 23. But maybe you would say that when it's a lav that conceivably could have been Mrs. Bastin, had they given the proper hasra, maybe they would both agree. You need 23, and therefore you need that machlokas again. Fine. So that's yet another answer why Rav Meir and the Chachamim are arguing 3 or 23 by Moshe Shemra, because the question boils down to that she's getting Malkus, and the question is how many Dayanim are needed for Malkus. Next, Ravina Amar Kagan Echman Adam Korav Apostle. Another case would be where let's say the husband brought 3 or 4 or whatever Adam, more than the necessary 2, and it turned out that one of them was a relative or Pasul Eidos, which we'll deal with in the third parak of our Masechta Bes Hashem about all the various Pasul Eidos and about all the various relatives that are Pasul. So here it turns out one of those Eidim was just that. So the question is, therefore, does that Pasul, the Eidos altogether, does that prevent her, if it turns out that one of them is a Korovei Pasul, does that mean, therefore, that she's not going to be getting a Chiyuv Misa? Do we discard the entire Eidos, or do we consider only the Eidim that are valid? Namely, they're arguing within the opinion, they're arguing on the same point as Rabbi Akiva, as they're arguing on the same point as Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe do, according to within Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Namely, we're going to quote Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and we're going to say that Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe argue about the application of Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Marcus. So you have like this. Again, you have a case where 3 people come to Beis Din to give Eidos instead rather than 2. So what happened? The Pasuk actually says, Al pish shnayim Eidim or shlosha Eidim yumas ames, that a person is executed, or later on in the parasha and shoftim, it says anything yakum dover by the word of 2 or 3 Eidim. The question is, if it says 3, if it says 2, why does it need to say 3? If 2 are good, of course 3 are good. So first, in the Mishnah over there, Reb Shimon says over there that it means that when you're being mazim them, you have to be mazim all of them. So Reb Shimon says that if Reuben, Shimon, and Levi are coming to Beis Din to testify about something, and then later on Yehuda and Yisachar come and say Imanu Hayisem, then we know Reuben, Shimon, and Levi are all punished with whatever punishment they were planning to do to the person that they were falsely accusing. But now, what happens if it turns out that they say only that the new Edom come and say only Reuben and Shimon, you were with us elsewhere, but Levi was not? So Reb Shimon says, since the three of them came as one Edus, and since the pasuk says two or three, then it means that there's no Hazama over here, because Hazama has to be on the entire group, not just on two out of the three. So the Mishnah continues in about Kiva Omer. Loi bosh shlishi ela lahachmir olav. You should know the third one is coming in the pasuk, and in the Beis Din is coming only to be machmir on him. Lasis dine kayotze be'ebu, to make that his punishment is the same as theirs. When it turns out that they're false Edim, in particular when it turns out that they're Edim Zomimin. So in other words, one way of understanding is that Rabbi Akiva is not really arguing on Reb Shimon. He's just saying another way of looking at the Lashon HaPasuk is that the Pasuk wants to stress to you the importance, the severity of getting involved with Rishoyim and then joining them in a false Edus. So Rabbi Akiva is not necessarily coming to argue with Reb Shimon, just to point out that the pasuk wants to stress to you the severity of this kind of thing. On the other hand, Tosfos says over here that maybe in fact Rabbi Akiva is arguing and saying that even if you only found two of them to be Edim Zomimin, that would be enough because they are all one group, and the fact that he only joined up together with them and he wasn't necessary for the validity of the Edus, because two Edim would have been enough, it wouldn't have been necessary to have him. Anyway, so Rabbi Akiva says, Loi bar kosev ela lahachmer olav, the pasuk is coming only, Loi bar shlishi ela lahachmer olav, the third one is coming only to be machmer on him, lasas dine kayotze ve'elu, to make that his din should be like the other ones. And we can learn from that, says Rabbi Akiva, Im kein onash hakosev as a nikba lo'over avera, ko'over avera. If we're seeing from this how harshly the pasuk is telling us that we punish a person who joined up with people who do an avera, where he was like the ones who did the avera themselves, namely we're saying, even though he's only a third and he wasn't really necessary for the Eidos at all, nevertheless though, if there's Hazama, then he gets punished along with them. Whether we say, according to Rashi in Makkos, that it means that we have to be, that Rabbi Akiva agrees that the case was we're mazim all three of them, or whether, like Tosfos says over here, that maybe Rabbi Akiva would say we only have to be mazim two of them, whatever the case, the point is, because he joined up with over avera, therefore he suffers the consequences. So we can learn from that. How much more so she shalom scharis and nitba loisa mitzvah kosa mitzvah? How much more so when a person joins himself to those who do a mitzvah, that Hashem is going to reward him like those who mainly did the mitzvah? Because we know midah tova merubah, Hashem's midah of good is always greater and more powerful than the midah of puranos. So if we're saying that, so therefore Rabbi Akiva says that's the lesson we can learn from this pasuk about how good it is to attach yourself to people who are doing mitzvahs, even if you're only helping out in a way that the thing could have been accomplished without you. Fine, in this case the edus could have also been accomplished without him, without the third aid, and yet he suffers the punishment together with them. So how much more so, for example, you have two people joining together to do a mitzvah and a third one joins in with them, then he also deserves a reward from Hashem. And Rabbi Akiva continues in that Mishnah in Makkos, Umashnayim. Now we can also say though as follows, that there is the comparison between the two and the three is as follows. Just like with two Edim, Nimtza Echamam Karav Apostle, if one of them turns out to be a relative or apostle Edus, Edus and Taylor, then the Edus is obviously Botel because you need two Kosher Edim. Af Shloisha, then Rabbi Akiva says that we can learn from that, since the Pasuk is comparing two and three, that also when you have three, Nimtza Echamam Karav Apostle, Edus and Taylor, if it turns out that one of them is, a relative or apostle, then the Edus is Botel. You have two Kosher Edim without him. Doesn't matter. The fact that the pasuk says al pishnei edim or shloisha, two or three, means there's a hekesh between them, and means that the same rules that apply to two apply to three. So therefore, yes, one of them being apostle is going to be enough to pass all the entire Eders. Or Menayan Shafil Meya. And Rabbi Akiva continues, how do we know that that's true even if there were 100 Edim? Tamad Lema Edim, therefore, the Pasuk says Edim in plural, Al Pi Shnei Edim, or Shlosha, or Shnayim Edim, whatever, there's two different Pesukim, or Shlosha Edim, where it says, where it repeats the word Edim, means it doesn't matter how many Edim there are, as long as they're one group, then the same rules apply to all of them. So it would mean, in other words, that if you have 100 people come as one group together to Beis Din to testify, and one of them turns out to be a Korov or Apostle, then the whole Edus is bottle. Now, had they come as separate groups, had you have Reuben and Shimon come as a group, and Levi and Yehuda come as a separate group, and so forth, if one of them turns out to be a Korov apostle, fine, that disqualifies that group, but all the other groups are still kosher. But here, Rabbi Akiva is saying that it means that that when within one group itself, even one of them being a Korov apostle is going to be enough to pass all the whole ages. Now, within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Bamed Rar Mamur, Medin Nefoshes. Rabbi Yossi says that is all talking about within Din Nefoshes, that we say that that if one of them from the whole group turns out to be a Korov or apostle, then the Eidos is bottle. Because after all, Rashi points out when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, we always have the rule that we want Beis Din to find every possible reason to exonerate the guy. So now we have a reason to. We can say, wait, one member of the group is possible. So we're not going to say that in that case, well, we still have enough. We still have two Edim, and that's enough to uphold the Eders. No, we just want to throw the whole thing out and exonerate the guy and save his life. And save their life for that matter, because if it turns out that they're Edom Zemin, then they won't get executed or punished or whatever. So Rabbi Yossi says with Dinin Afoshis you have that distinction. Avu Dinin Mominus, but when it comes to Dinin Mominus, to Skyim Edus Bashar. Then Rabbi Yossi says Rabbi Akiva is not saying then that you would throw out the whole Edus because one of them is a Korov or apostle. You continue the case with the remaining ones. Rebbe Omer, on the other hand, Rebbe says, Echad Dinin Mominus ve'echad Dinin Nefashos. Note, the same rules apply to Dinin Mominus and Dinin Nefashos. In both cases, if you have one of them as a Korov apostle but within the group, then the whole Eidos is thrown out. But Rebbe continues, but when would that be? Only Bizman Shehistru Bahem. That would only be where these Kroivim or the Psulim were also involved in the Hasra. So we're talking about, so within Dinin Nefashos, right, so Rebbe is saying, on the one hand, I'm disagreeing with you, Rabbi Yossi, and saying that this rule applies even to Dinin Mominus. On the other hand, when it comes to Dinin Afoshis, you have to point out there is a difference between whether they were involved in the Hasra or not, or whether they were just watching. So Rebbe says, there's Mantra Histru, when they actually gave the Hasra, showing, in other words, that they want to be Aiden. And since we're saying that the third aid is considered like the other two, then therefore that means that now the Aedrus is disqualified. Abba loy histru behen, abba bizman shalay histru behen, but Rebbe continues, if they were not involved in the Hasra, they were just there watching, then the fact that they were there does not necessarily pass over Eidos, because Rebbe says, Ma yasu, shnei achim ve'echad shiro ve'echad shahorigas and nefesh. Imagine what would happen, says Rebbe, if you have two brothers plus another person together with them, see one person killing another. What are you going to say? If you're going to say that because anybody who watches is considered an aid, then there's not going to be an Eidos over here, because the two brothers together are possible Eidos. So therefore, says Rebbe, you have to say that what would happen, in order for it to be a valid Eidos, what you're going to have is one of the brothers and the stranger are going to have to give the Hasra. So that way, the other brother is there only as a bystander, and therefore, his being there does not possible the Eidos. So now, applying that to our Mishnah, to the mayor and the Chachamim then, so we're saying, suppose there was this case of the Korov apostle, so now this third one did not join in the Hasra. Rameyer would hold there's no Dinin Nefashos over here, because Rameyer would disagree with Rebbe's point that, Rameyer would disagree with Rebbe's point that, 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 that the third one is not considered part of the group. So therefore, say that's it. You have one of them as a Kotev apostle. The whole Eidos is bottle. So therefore, so all you're going to have here is Dinim Mominus. So Rebbe is saying that by Dinim Mominus, Rebbe Yossi would be saying by Dinim Mominus to Skyim Eidos Bashar. That's enough to have, that two out of the three of them were kosher, and we don't worry about the third one being apostle. So the mayor, in short, is going to hold like Rabbi Yossi, that by Dinin Nefashos, it doesn't matter whether he said anything or not. Rebbe is the one who points out the difference whether he gave Asura or not. Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of that distinction. Rabbi Yossi would hold that, indeed, if two brothers plus a stranger see Reuven kill Shimon, then yeah, there's no Eidos over here because there was a brother involved. So according to the mayor, there's no Dinin Nefashos over here in this case. If two brothers plus one other one saw this woman being Mizana, then there can't be Dinin Nefashos. Therefore, it's enough to judge her with three. Whereas the Chachamim hold like Rebbe and say there is the possibility because all you need is the third one to not say anything, and then the Eidos will be kosher. Tosfos has a long discussion about this point over here about Bizman Shele Hisru Behem and Bizman Shele Hisru Behem. Tosfos says, first of all, when they all come to Beis Din, the first thing is Beis Din asks them, which of you actually came as Edim versus which of you just came as spectators? So then based on that, we're going to see which one was the Korov apostle. And Tosfos points out that that after all, it does have to be they go to Beis Din in order for there to be a problem in the first place. If not, then Tosfos says, listen, when you give a get, it often happens there are kroivim or psulim over there. So when Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi are pointing out, when Rebbe points out this point about what are you going to do if two brothers plus one other one see what happened and go to Beis Din, fine. So the point is they're going to Beis Din, and Rebbe Yossi is saying not always is one of them going to know that the other one is going to Beis Din, and then it's going to turn out that all of them have gone to Beis Din, and according to Rebbe Yossi, the fact that they went to Beis Din would be enough to pass all things. But if they don't go to Beis Din, then for sure there's no problem, even though there are relatives. Tosfos gets into certain other details about it as well, but one thing is, one big nafkamina about this is taka, by gittin or more often by kiddushin. After all, by kiddushin, by a wedding, you have many relatives over there. So again, Tosfos learns that the problem is only if those Edim come to Beis Din. If the Edim never come to Beis Din, then we don't care how many relatives there are. Therefore, by a chuppah, we can have as many relatives as we want over there. Nobody's going to Beis Din anyway. And therefore, the question of there being relatives involved in the Eidos never comes into the picture in the first place. Now the Rosh gives a different answer. The Rosh says that the Chlal, when you have, you're asking for two kosher Edim, then we don't care even if Psulim do come to Beis Din afterwards, because he specified he wanted two kosher Edim. So in our case of Dinin Nefashos, that wouldn't matter. Obviously the person who's doing the Aveira that's going to make him Chayiv Misa doesn't want anybody to come to Beis Din. But the point is that in Dinin Mominus, at least when a person is saying I want the two kosher Edim to watch this transaction, then we don't really care, says the Rosh, not only if there are psulim, but even if the psulim come to Beis Din afterwards, because he specified he wanted only kosher Edim. In fact, the Rosh adds in the name of his Rebbeim that even if he says generically, anybody who knows this Eidos, please come to Beis Din, then it would mean that even if posel Edim come, they wouldn't posel the Eidos, because he meant any of the kosher ones. Now, then the Rambam learns that if a relative does intend to be an aid, then he would passel the aiders. So the Ksois discusses this in some detail in Shulchan Aruch that when the Ksos says if the Rambam might agree, at least he would definitely disagree with part of what the Rosh said, that a person can say, I want only, the Rosh is saying two things. In other words, the Rosh is saying, first of all, that when a person specifically says, I want these people to be the Edim, then that's it. Nobody else can be the aid. And second of all, that if afterwards he says, when I previously I lent money to this to this person or whatever it is. There were a lot of people present. Whichever of you know the Eidos, please come and stay in Beis Din. So then it would mean only the kosher ones. The Rambam would definitely disagree with that second part, but the Tzoris learns that the Rambam wouldn't necessarily disagree with the first part. When you said specifically, I want these people to be Eidim, then that's valid. And nobody else can tassel the Eidos after that. So it's based on that, you know, by a chuppah. We always have the Masada Kedushin will say that the Ploni and Ploni are the Eidim to the exclusion of all others. And that makes it clear. That works according to everybody, even according to the Rambam, that it means that he's saying only these two are Eidim, and nobody else to begin with is being designated as Eidim. Therefore, even if the Kroivim or Psulim were to afterwards come to Beis Din, it wouldn't matter because to begin with he excluded them. Then the Ketzoris also goes and points out that anyway there's a point that after all you have two different when it comes to Kedushin and Gittin versus most other kinds of things where you need Eidim, anyway there's a distinction between we call them Eidik Birur and Eidik Kiyum. When it comes to matters of Dinim Mominus and many other things, the fact that we need Eidim is really only to establish that the thing happened. If both of them were to admit the thing happened, then you don't really need Eidim. The Gemara elsewhere expresses this with the expression, Loi Ivri Sadi El Lashkari. The reason that Eidim exists in the first place is only in case there are liars. But let's say Reuven lends Shimon money, it'll be Shimon will owe him the money, even if there were no Eidim, as long as they both agree to it. As opposed to with Kedushin and Gittin, the Eidim are Eidik Kiyum, the Eidim are necessary. Without them, the thing doesn't happen. So therefore, so it discusses that there you can have a distinction there as well, that even if you didn't explicitly say, I want you exclusive of everybody else to be the Eidim, maybe it would work because it's clear. Obviously, you want only kosher to Eidim, otherwise the Kedushin or the Gittin are not going to happen in the first place. Nevertheless, based on all of this discussion, is why by a wedding you'll have the Masada Kedushin say that Ploni and Ploni are the Eidim to the exclusion of all others, in order to make it clear, even according to the Rambam, that that works. So that all emerges from the sugya over here. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, then the point is that again, so if we have a court of apostle among the Eidim, are we going to be able to have Dinin Nefashis over here, or do we say it matters whether they intended to give Eidos or not, or whether they came to Beis Din or not? Reb Meir and the Chachamim are going to be arguing in our Mishnah within that Machloikas, and therefore that's going to be another reason why Reb Meir would say you need only three, because you're not going to be able to have Dinin Nefashis once one of them was a Kor of Apostle, and the Chachamim are going to say you could have Dinin Nefashis, because you could still, you toss out that one Eid was a Kor of Apostle, and you have... Or you say, no, not because, even though they all came to Beis Din, because he wasn't involved in the Hasra, they're going to hold like Rebbe that says that if he wasn't involved in the Hasra, then he's not one of the Eidim in the first place, and therefore we have two kosher Eidim, and we can go ahead with judging Dinin Nefashis. Okay. Yet another explanation. We're still in the middle of explaining all the various explanations of why the mayor and the Chachamim have their arguments in the Mishnah. So the Gemara continues with yet another one. The Boris Ema, another answer you could take against your history by Acherim, v'lo history by Eidim. The Machloikas would be, suppose that it was other people who gave the Hasra, not the Eidim themselves. Ordinarily, we have Eidim see a person being Mechal Shabbos, or killing, or doing any bunch of other Averas, and they themselves warn him right before it, you better not do this because you're going to be Chayiv Misa or Malkus or what have you. What about if you have a third party is there and he gives Hasra and not the Eidim themselves? Namely, therefore, we would say that Reb Meir and the Chachamim then are arguing within the arguing on the same machlokas as Reb Yosi and the Chachamim. The Tnan, we learn in another Mishnah in Makkos, Reb Yosi Omer lo olam ein ener ad shiyu shnei edim ad shiyu pi shnei edim masrin bo. Reb Yosi says that the person can never be executed unless the mouths of the two Eidim are warning him. So it has to be the same Eidim that see the thing happen or the same Eidim that are warning him. That are warning him not to do it. Shenema, and Rabbi Yossi says, so the pasuk says, pi shnei edim, because the pasuk says, on the mouth of two edim. So you have somebody else is, so in other words, Rabbi Yossi learns that you could learn that it means on the mouth of two edim, namely that two edim come to Beis Din and testify verbally. But Rabbi Yossi is understanding that it means you also need the mouth of the two edim in the first place to give him asura. So therefore, and the Chachamim say it doesn't matter. So then the Chalukas and our Mishnah would be the same thing. Rabbi Meir would say the Edim themselves didn't give him Hasra, didn't give her Hasra, therefore there's no Din in Nefashis, no need for a Beis Din of 23. And the Chachamim are saying that the Edim themselves have, that the Chachamim are saying it doesn't matter. Somebody else can give Hasra, therefore it is possible for this to be Din in Nefashis, therefore you need a Beis Din of 23. Then we have yet another explanation. So far, we're up to like 7 or 8 explanations of the Machlokas, Reb Meir and the Chachamim. So here's another one. The Boisema, yet another answer. Suppose that the Edim were contradicted when it comes to Bedikas and not Chakiris. Now, later in the Masechta, we're going to learn in detail. You have those two sets of questions that Beis Din asks the Edim. There's Chakiris, which are required in all cases. Chakiris are basically you ask them to establish the exact time and place of the event. So you ask them what day of the week it was, what day of the month it was, what time of day, etc. There's a whole bunch of 7 questions to establish the place. So you have 7 questions that establish the basic time and place of the thing. Those are called hakiris. Those are necessary not only in order to, well, those are necessary obviously to establish the exact time, but they're also necessary for purposes of Azazama. You have the concept that we've touched on before, that Edus is valid only if it's possible to be Mazim it. Now, if you don't establish the exact date and time of the thing, then Hazama won't be possible, because what's going to happen? You're going to have Edim are going to come and say, Reuven killed Shimon, and they don't know that, we don't remember the exact time, but it was sometime during Tavshin Pehei, let's say. So now other Edim are going to come and be Mazim them, and they can't. During the entire Tavshin Pehei, you can't necessarily say that they weren't out of town, so that they were out of town. So then it would be Edus Shiyaki Yochel Azima, and it wouldn't be a valid Edus. So we have to narrow it down. It was on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Tavshin Pehei, which was a Monday, and it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon in such and such a place or whatever. And now Hazama is possible because now other Edim can come and say at that time Imanu Hayisim. So those are Hakiris. Then you have Bedikas, which is asking about side details that happen then. For example, you might have, let's say, in the case where one person killed another, what clothing was each of them wearing? Black or white? Things like that. Those are called Bedikas. So now what happens is, let's say the Edim were contradicted one another when it comes to the Bedikas. So one of them said he was wearing a black shirt and the other says he was wearing a white shirt. But the lois kachish b'hakiris, but they weren't contradicted when it comes to hakiris, that they knew all the time and place exactly. The kamifagi plugged to the ben zakai v'rabbanon. The Reb Meir and the chachamim would be arguing over here in the same machlokas as ben zakai and the chachamim. Ben zakai, the Gemara explains later in the Masechta, is actually none other than Reb Yochanan ben zakai. We're calling him ben zakai over here because at the time he wasn't yet Rabbi Yochanan ben zakai. He hadn't received smicha. He was still just ben zakai, one of the talmidim. Anyway, the Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, Maisev Ubodek Ben Zakai Be'ukze Te'enim. It happened once that there was one person killed another one under a fig tree, and Ben Zakai investigated and cross-examined the Edim as far as the stems of the figs. So he asked them, were the stems thick or thin? And one of them said thick, and the other one said thin, and therefore Ben Zakai said their Edus is possible. The Chum disagree and say that since they matched one another when it comes to the Chakiris, then it will be kosher. So therefore, so you have the same machloikas in our mission over here. Therefore, so Reb Meir is going to say that we don't have din in Efoshes anymore. Therefore, we don't need a Beis Din of. Therefore, we don't need a Beis Din of 23. As opposed to the Chachamim say that doesn't matter, you can still continue the case, and therefore you need 23 because you can still have Chiyuv Misa involved. Tosfos wonders that don't you have the problem though that other Edim may come along? So Tosfos says you could say that they said there was nobody else there at the time. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss, let's say, for example, you could have that the Edim of the father that are going to exonerate his daughter to say that she's innocent, we will makush them completely. So therefore, so there may not be other Edim, but after all, maybe we might yet be able to, be Mazim then. And therefore we need 23, because if we're Mazim them, then there's going to be Misa involved. You could also have, Tosfos goes on to say that, let's say the husband may have different sets of Edim that themselves contradicted one another in Bedikus, and the point is that Reb Meir is going to say, we don't have to worry about other Edim, because no matter how many come, once there's a Kasha, then you have two against two, and therefore we don't really have a case anymore. And according to the Chachamim, they're not concerned about Bedikus. They're not concerned that they contradicted one another in Bedikus, and therefore you could still have more Edom coming. So several different answers that Tosfos gives how this explanation is going to work. But in any case, the point is what all of them have in common is that we're saying that we're not worried about that there's going to be other Edom that might come, Meir at least is not concerned that there might be other Edom that might come, and then we have to tackle, rejudge it with 23, so we're not worried about that. Marshall and Marshall talk about all this in some detail. Marshall tries to understand Tosfos over here. He says that if we're talking about that there was a complete hakasha, there's definitely not going to be any other Edim. So why is Tosfos even bringing up the point that there might conceivably be other Edim? So he ends up saying that, let's say, you might have that the original sets of Edim didn't give Asra, they only were there to watch, and then Marshal deals with in great, great detail and discusses this Marshal, which and in turn discusses Tosfos, and explains what we're talking about over here. Even after Akasha, conceivably there might be other Edim that come along, but Rameyer is not concerned about that possibility. Because after all, so what do you have? You have one group comes and says that this happened at 3 o'clock, and then two other Edim may later on come and say that it happened at 2 o'clock. So are we going to accept those? Are we going to accept those second Edim or not? So that would be the underlying machlokas that Rameyer and the Chachamim would all be on that, would all be regarding that point. Is there going to be a possibility of Dinin Nefoshes over here? Okay. So fine. So we've gone through all the various possible answers of why Reb Meir holds that you need three, and of why Reb Meir holds it's enough to have three, and why the Chachamim say you have to have 23. Okay. Since we're talking about Motzi Shemra, since the whole sugya over here was about the husband accusing his wife that she was unfaithful, and then going from there, so the Gemara brings in this connection. Amar Reb Yosef, Hevi Abal Edim Shezinsa. If the husband brings Edim that his wife was Mizana, which is when she was in Arusa, and then she be Chayiv Misa, Vehevi Hav Edim Vehezimum L'Edi Abal, then the father of the girl brings Edim who are Mazim, the Edim of the husband. So now, Edi Abal Meherogin, so now those Edim that the husband brought are going to be executed because they were trying to get her executed, and Vasisim L'Kasha Zomam. The Edim Meshalman Momen, however, they're not going to have to pay the wife money for the fact that they were going to cause her to forfeit her ksuba. Basically they're going to be chayiv misa, and we don't have, when a person is chayiv misa, they're not also going to have to pay. Now Rashi goes on and points out, now there's two different payments that's involved over here. There's the fact that they tried to cause her to forfeit her ksuba. For that, therefore, they're also being executed because they were trying to get her, to try to get her executed. So therefore, so come lebe d'amimine. As far as the fact that if the accusation, now the pasuk tells us if the husband's accusation turns out to be false, then he has to pay 100 sela to his wife's father. So now you could say these Edim were also going to cause that to be lost, but no, because that's not, they're not the ones who have to be paying that. The husband is going to be the one who has to pay that. The husband is chayiv the 100 sela only when he brings Edim. And in this case, his Edim were. And in this case, we found that his Edim were Edim Zimmerman. So therefore, he himself is. So they're not going to have to be paying that hundred sela, because that's the husband's responsibility, basically. So they're going to be executed, but they're not paying anything. What about if now the husband brings Edim who are mazim the Edim of the father? So now we have, in other words, let's look at the scenario so far. The husband brought two Edim, Reuven and Shimon, who said that his wife was mazana when she's in Arusa. If true, then she's getting executed. And of course she's forfeiting her ksuba. Then the father brings Levi and Yehuda, who say Manu Hayisem, which now means that Reuven and Shimon are chayav whatever they were going to cause to happen. Namely, therefore, they're chayav Misa, and they're not paying anything because Kamle, as far as the Ksuba, Kamle B'Dravimine, and as far as the hundred, he himself would be chayev only if he brings Edim, and in this case, therefore, he's the one who's chayev to pay the 100, not the Edim. Now, then you have, now the husband brings Yisachar and Zvulun, who are Mazim, Levi, and Yehuda. So they say, on the contrary, what do you mean that Reuben and Shimon were with you someplace else? You, Levi and Yehuda, are the ones who were someplace else when you're saying that. So now that means we're reinstating the case against the wife, but it also means now, therefore, that the middle set of Edim are the ones who are the Edims in Levi and Yehuda. So Edi ha'avne ha'rogim, so the father's Edim are going to be killed because they were going to cause the first set, Reuven and Shimon, to be killed. And they are also paying money because in the previous case we said that Reuben and Shimon are not paying money, but here we say that the second set of Edim do pay money because Mammon Lazer and Nefoshes Lazer, because you have the Mammon that they owe is to one person and the Nefoshes is to somebody else, namely the money they owe to the husband because they were trying to deprive him of 100 Selah because they were trying to say that his accusation is false. These middle Edim, the Levi and Yehuda, whom the father brought. Meanwhile, the Chiyuv Misa is because they were trying to get Reuven and Shimon killed. So then we don't say, Kom Lebedaramine, then we say that there's in fact two separate Chiyuvim, and they get Misa for one, and Momen for the other. We don't say, Kom Lebedaramine over there. So in that case, in fact, they are getting both punishments. So Rabbi Yosef holds just that. When we say kom lebedaramine, we say that that's only when the missa and the mammon are to the same person, not when they're to two different people. There is a different relevant Gemara on this in Ksubas, and there's another one Tosfos refers to another one over here in Bava Kamma that talks about that it's not so simple about this Momen Lazer or Nefoshes Lazer that they should be potter. There are in fact different opinions on that subject in different places in Gemara, and we would say that maybe Kom Lebedaramine would even apply in such a case, so they'd be getting Misa, but they wouldn't be paying the Momen. Another din, V'omer Rabbi Yosef, suppose a person comes to Beis Din and says, Pliny Revoi La'onsai. So somebody comes to Beis Din and says that Pliny sodomized me, did Mishkav Zocher with me La'onsai. It was an oinus. I didn't consent to it. So, that person himself, the victim, together with somebody else, can combine together to get that guy executed. We don't say he's negei b'davar because, in other words, conceivably you could say the same thing with murder, but obviously you can't because the dead person can't come to Beis Din. But here, where he's still alive, then he's able to come and be one of the edim to get the guy executed. However, on the other hand, Rabbi Yosef points out, but if he comes with the same kind of thing to Beis Din, but instead of saying it was la'onsai, he says it was l'ritzonai, I consented to it, then you have a problem. Roshahu, because then this person who's saying that this was done to him has declared himself a Rosha, because the Isser of Mishkav Zachar applies equally well to the active and to the passive partner. So therefore, by he saying that he consented to it, means that he's a Rosha, means that he was involved in something that would be Chayiv Misa. V'atora Omer, Al-Toshas, Rosha Eid, the Pasuk says, don't make a Rosha an aid. The actual Rosha and Apostle is Atoshas Yodcha im Rosha. Don't put your hand to don't join in with a Rosha. Lias aid chomas, to be an aid for injustice, but we learn from that that it means, in other words, that nobody is allowed to join together with a Rasha to be an aid. So in this case, the person is branding himself a Rasha, so he wouldn't be able to be one of the two, so he wouldn't be able to be one of the two aiding. Tosfos actually discusses over here that the details we're going to learn in the third parak, Be'ezras Hashem, what kind of Ovid Avera are the ones who are posel eidos. Ordinarily, we say it's only when there's matters of dinim mamonis involved, because then once a person is going to be dishonest in dinim mamonis, then he might be a dishonest aid as well. Here we're not talking about dinim mamonis. Nevertheless, Tosfos says that the fact that he's being on such a blatant Avera, so that would be enough to posel him, to posel him as an aid. Tosfos also discusses maybe he would be kosher for other kinds of aidos, but not for this kind of thing. Whatever Tosfos discusses, the various possibilities over here. In any case, Rabbi Yosef is saying that he can't serve as an aid for this. On the other hand, Rava Omar, Rava says not necessarily. Adam Korav Eitzel Atzmai, we say a person is his own closest relative, and a relative is posel aidos. So therefore, we don't pay attention to the part of the Eidos where he's saying that he himself was Lurutzoinai, and therefore that would make him a Rasha. So the Einon Amesim Atzmai Rasha, a person cannot make himself a Rasha with an admission like that. When it comes to dinim mamon, that's true. A person can say, I owe you $100, and that's a valid haidah, as long as it was in front of Edim. But to say, I committed such and such an Aveda, and brand himself a Rasha, that Rava says he can't do. So in effect, Rava is saying the concept that the Gemara calls palgina dibura. We split up what he's saying. The fact he's saying two different things: ploini ravoi and l'ritzonai. So we say the part that he says ploini ravoi, we accept that ploini committed mishkav zocher with him, and that's eidos. Now we have half of an eidos, and if we have another person, then we'll have a complete eidos. The fact that he said l'ritzonai, Rava says we discard that part because that would violate the principle of eidon amesim atzmei rasha. Now Tosfos discusses over here the ins and outs of this concept of palgin and dibura. We don't always say this concept of palgin and dibura. We don't always say that we can split up the Eidos like that and say we can accept part of it and part not. One thing Tosfos says is that we can't say Palgin and Dibura when it comes to Eidos about the same person. So Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Ksubis, for example, where Edim say, this is our handwriting on these are our signatures on a shtar, but we were anusim, or we were ktanim, or whatever. So then the point is that you have a case where they're saying they were anusim machmas momen, we were forced to, because otherwise he was going to make us lose money. Well, that's not a valid reason to sign a false shtar. That means they're saying that they're rishoyim. Then we don't say palgin and dibura, because then we're talking about all the same thing. It's all the same eidos. We sign on the shtar, however we were psulim. But over here, we're talking about two separate things. We're talking about he's saying, ploini is going to be chayiv misa. On the other hand, he's saying on himself, I'm a rosha. So Rava is saying that we can split that up. Tosfos discusses that, and other Rishonim discuss various other angles when we say Pogin and Dibura. When a person is saying that he himself did an Aveda, so Ein Onamation Atzmei Rasha, so we discard that and we're left with a complete Eidos about the other person, as opposed to, for example, in that case of the Edim, if we say they were Anusim, Machmas Momen, and therefore they were Rishoyim, well then it comes out. We don't have signatures here in the first place, because they themselves are saying that they signed the thing. And the Gemara continues with another case. Omar Rava, Ploini Baal Ishti. What if a husband comes to Beis Din and says, Ploini was Mizane with my wife? So again, Huva Achim, it starts from Lahurgoi, Avaloi Lahurgoi. So what we'll do is then Rava says that the husband plus another person will be enough to get that other guy executed, the guy who was the boil who was Mizane with the wife. Ava loyla her ga, but it wouldn't be to execute her because he's a relative of hers. He's her husband. So again, in other words, we're going to say palgin and dibura over here. We're going to accept the part that Pliny was mizana with her, but not the part that it was litzoina and therefore that she should be executed as well. So the Gemara says, my kamash malon. So what is Rava telling us? The fact that palgin and dibura, that we split up his statement, hainu hach. Well, that's exactly the same as the previous case with the Pliny Ravoi. And the answer is Ma'u Detema. Without Rava telling us, we would have thought, Odom Korev Eitzel Atzmei Aminan. Fine, we say a person is Korev to himself, and therefore he can't say that he himself is a Rosha and passel his own Eidus. Eitzel Ishto Le'aminan, but maybe we don't say that when it comes to his wife. Maybe he is considered, he's obviously close to her in various ways, but maybe not necessarily to the extent of this Palginin Dibura to say that his edus against her would not be acceptable. Maybe we would accept his edus against her as well. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rava informs us not so. His edus against her is not acceptable either because Ishte Kigufay. So later on, in the third parak, when we deal with the psule edus, then obviously we're going to say that a husband is possible to testify about his wife. But nevertheless, you would think that in this case, we would say once we believe him to the extent where it's going to cause this other guy to get executed, then maybe it's enough to say his wife as well. Maybe in that case, we wouldn't say Pogan and Deborah, and we're having to say that it's not so. And different Rishonim discuss different detailed points within that point about when we would say Pogin and Dibura, and not the Yad Ramah explains that you would think that maybe we wouldn't say Odom Korev Eitzel Ishtei. After all, as soon as she's Mizana, she becomes also to him. Maybe at that point he's not considered close to her anymore. Nevertheless, Rava is telling us that if not so, as long as she didn't divorce her, they still are married, and therefore his Eidus would still be possible because they're related. And then he goes on with another explanation as well, that when it comes to Odom Korev Eitzel Atzmei, we would say that a person knows that he's his own relative and therefore he has no intention of giving Eidus on himself. So in other words, when he says in the previous case, Pliny Ravoy La'insai, then it would mean he's saying Pliny Ravoy, and the fact that he's mentioning La'insai is just like he's telling over the whole story, but he's not meaning to actually say Eidus about himself, as opposed to here we're talking about his wife. You would think that maybe he doesn't realize that he's possible to give Eidus, and he actually means as Eidus, and we would say that we toss out, once we toss out part of the Eidus, we toss out all of it, and Rava is telling us not so, that we still say Palgin and Dibura over here. And then we also have the point that Tosfos was making before about Eidus against two different people, that when do we say Palgin and Dibura when it's about different people rather than about the same person? Here you would say over here that here he's saying about his wife and somebody else. The Gemara thought that maybe we would say he's not so Korev Eitzel Ishtei that he should be considered one of the participants in this. He's a relative to her, and therefore we would say that we would call what he said Eidus, and we would say that once part of the Eidus is bottled because he's a relative, Botla Kula, and the Gemara is saying that not so, Ishtik Gufay, and it's Bechal not called Eidus in the first place, and therefore therefore we can say Pogin and Dibura, and we have a valid Eidus over here. So several different ways of explaining what Rava means over here is the Chiddush, that he's able to testify, but the point is that he is, and he's able to say so the point is we can't accept his Eidus insofar as causing her to be executed because he'd be considered a relative to her and Eidonim and Odom Korev Eitzel Atzmei, and that includes his wife as well, but nevertheless it is enough to get the other guy executed because there we have a valid Eidus, and then as long as we have one other aid involved, then we have a valid Eidus and the thing happens.